奉主耶稣基督的圣灵名求。阿们。当人犯罪以后，
After man has sinned，
上帝对夏娃讲一句话，
God said to Eve，
我要在女人后裔同蛇的后裔中间制造一个征战。
There will be a conflict between the descendant of the woman and the descendant of the serpent。
这样，要叫女子的后代打伤蛇的头，也叫蛇来打伤女子后代的脚跟。
In this manner, the descendant of the woman will hurt the head of the serpent, and the serpent will strike the heel of the descendant of the woman。
所以这里启示了两件重要的事情。
In this thing, there are two important revelations。
就是那引诱人犯罪的撒旦，有一天要失败。
And that is Satan, the one that tempts men, will fail one day.
第二件事情，在人类历史中间，有个属灵的战争是超过所有的战事。
The second thing is that in the history of man, there will be a spiritual battle greater than any other battle.
世界历史中间最大的战事，不是美国苏联的战事，不是第一次、第二次世界的战事，不是美国对伊拉克的战事，不是南朝鲜。
The greatest battles of the world is not that of the world wars or the wars between the different nations like America and the Soviet Union.
乃是一个看不见的属灵的战争，也就是创世纪第三章十五节里面所提到。
But the invisible spiritual battle seen in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15.
这个战争不是属物质的，不是属政治的，乃是属于善与恶之间的征战。
And this battle is not physical, doesn't belong to the world, but between good and evil.
那些叫人，从整个人类可以从撒旦的手中被抢救回来。
That the whole of humanity may be rescued from the hands of Satan.
把这个战争跟其他的战争做一个比较。
When we compare this battle with all other battles,
你只能说人类其他的战事不过是关于情欲、关于自私、关于世界物质的争夺。那是开玩笑的战士一样。
You can say that the battles of the world are for selfish desires, for material gain, and for things that are not important.
而人类在这些错误的仇恨中间所引起的战士。
And all the wars and battles that humanity have because of hatred.
消耗了最大的经济力量，用了最多的钱做那些不应该做的事情。
Has exhausted great resource and great strength for things that ought not to be.
当美国跟苏联在竞争武器到最白热化的时候，
At the height of the Cold War between the America and Soviet Union，
这两个国家曾经有过六千多个洲际导弹的海子弹头。
And these two countries together have more than 6,000 nuclear warheads。
而这些的洲际导弹的海子弹头呢，可以同时爆炸毁灭世界全球四倍的地区。
These warheads, when they are all exploded together, could have destroyed the world four times over.
这其中用的金钱多少呢？
And the amount of money that was spent.
浪费多少？
The amount of wastage there was.
无法估计，无法想象。
It's not something that we can estimate or imagine.
而事实证明，冷战结束了以后，他们要销毁这些东西。因为从来没有用过一个。
And after the Cold War, they would have to destroy all these missiles because not one was ever used.
花了多少时间，多少的金钱，花了多少的人力，花了多少的年月，预备了这些战争的工具，结果没有用过一个，就这样已经落伍了。
And all these tools of war was made using all sorts of resources and time, but not a single one was used, and they are all obsolete.
有人估计，人类一年里面用在军备、用在战争武器上的钱，可以用现在的时间来算，作为全球传道的费用的1300年的用处。
Somebody estimated that the amount of money used in one single year to prepare for war could have been used for 1,300 years for gospel evangelistic movement.
一个最先进的战机，
the most advanced fighter jet,
可以盖几十座的大楼，
could replace many, many different buildings.
但是正像今天北朝鲜的情形一样，
this is the same in North Korea today.
当很多人一定要饿死的时候，军事政府还在用钱去建立他们的军事力量。
In this country, many people are starving to death, but the government is still spending a lot of money on the military.
如果人类能从这没有意义的战事转移过来， 注意圣经所提到的真正有意义的战争，那我们就很有前途了。
And if humanity can turn from all these meaningless battles to the battles as described in the Bible, then we have true hope for the future.
那个战士是从女子的后裔以及蛇的后裔那边讲起的。
And this battle started from the descendant of the woman and the descendant of the serpent.
这个女子的后裔到底是谁？
Who is this descendant of the woman?
我们每个人都是女人生的，你们中间的谁是男人生的吗？
All of us are born of a woman.
所以女人的后裔一定是千千万万，永远数不清的一大群的人吗？
So the descendants of a woman must be the millions upon millions of humanity.
不是的，圣经里面提到的是一个独一的一个。
Not so, because the Bible only referred to one.
而这个独一的一个女子的后代到底是谁？
And who is this one descendant of the woman?
上帝也对亚伯拉罕说，万族要因为你的后代而得出益处。
And God said to Abraham, all nations will be blessed because of your descendant.
那你照样提的一个单独的一个，不是你后代所有的人。
And there the reference was to just one descendant, not millions of people.
所以这里就整个圣经从旧约到新约指出有一个战士。有一个女子的后代，她要承担这个军队的统帅。
And the Bible points out from the Old to the New Testament that this one descendant of woman will be commander of the army.
这位就是当圣灵对玛利亚说：“明年这个时候你要怀孕生子，因为圣灵降临在你的身上，所以呢，你不结婚你会生孩子。”
This is what the Holy Spirit said to Mary, that next year this time you will have a son because the Holy Spirit will be upon you that you shall bear a son.
玛利亚是唯一没有结婚童贞女生子的。
And Mary was the only person who was a virgin when she had a son.
耶稣基督是人类历史中间唯一那个女人的后裔。
And so Jesus Christ is this one descendant of a woman.
你说这是我可以相信可以接受的事情吗？
Is this something that I can believe or accept?
是的，
it is.
在全能的上帝那里，没有不可能的事情。
Before the Almighty God, everything is possible.
我曾经用逻辑跟你们新加坡人谈到四种可能性。
I've once explained four different possibilities in logic.
上帝创造亚当的时候，不用男，不用女，就这样把亚当造出来。
When God created Adam, there was no man or woman, and he was just created from nothing.
上帝造夏娃的时候，用男不用女就把夏娃造出来。
And when God created Adam, a man was used.
Man and not woman used. 上帝造你造我的时候，又用男又用女才把你我造出来。
But when you and I were created, we were created from a man and a woman.
所以这样的三种办法都用了。
So you see three different methods in creation.
无男无女造亚当。
Without man and a woman, Adam was created.
有男无女造夏娃。
With a man, without woman, Eve was created.
又用男又用女造你造我。
With a man and a woman, you and I were created.
只有一个办法还没有用。
There's only one method left.
就是没有用男，单单用女把耶稣基督生下来。
There is no man, but with a woman, Jesus Christ was born.
这是神全能的上帝用他的智慧所安排的，这个使这些成就的这些真理。
These things are made possible because of the wisdom of Almighty God.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
而上帝就是爱。
And God is love.
这件事是没有一个宗教可以谈的。
This is something no other faith can talk about.
在回教里面谈到上帝的属性的时候，用了两个阿拉伯文，一个是 Rahmania， 另外一个字是 Rahimnia。
In Islam, two words are used to describe God: Rahmana and Rahimna.
Rahimnia 跟 Rahmania 什么意思呢？
What does this mean?
上帝是蛮有怜悯的。
That God is full of compassion.
上帝是蛮有慈悲的。
And God is merciful.
但是上帝不是爱。
But God is not love.
只有圣经唯一的一个宗教，唯一的一本书告诉我们，上帝就是爱。
The Bible is the only book, the only faith that tells us that God is love.
那么这位就是爱的上帝，他亲口说，我要把这个征战，这个仇恨，放在女人的后裔以及蛇的后裔的中间。
And this God who is love says that the battle will be between the descendant of the woman and that of the serpent.
将神就赐下了一个特别的征战。
And God gave us a special battle.
这个征战就解除人的科学、人的政治、人的文化没有办法解决的问题。
To solve the problems that men cannot solve through science, politics, or culture.
那就是罪恶的问题。
The problem of sin.
直到今天，无论科学多么进步
，No matter how advanced science may be，
无论政治多么有权柄
，Or how powerful politics is，
无论军事的武器多么前进
，Or how advanced military weapons are，
人没有办法解决的事情有三样。
We cannot solve three problems.
第一，罪的事情没有办法解决。
The first one is the problem of sin.
第二，痛苦的事情没有办法解决。
The second one is the problem of pain.
第三样，死亡的事情没有办法解决。
The third one is the problem of death.
所以呢，这个罪恶、痛苦跟死亡。
Sin, pain, and death.
Sin, sorrow, and death. 这是没有人可以解决的问题。
These are things that humanity cannot solve.
或者是 suffering 的问题。
Or the question of suffering.
不因为你的钱多了，你就可以减少人心灵的痛苦。
It doesn't mean that when you are rich, you can solve the suffering of your heart.
不因为医学的进步，人就解决了这些问题。
Or that medical science is so advanced, you can solve all these problems.
这已经超过了人的能力、人的理智、人的科学所能够到的地方。
This is where the limit of human reason and abilities are.
所以这个征战，这个得胜。就透过那女子的后裔要赐给人类。
So this victory can be given to us only through the descendant of the woman.
当耶稣基督到了他受苦的那一天的时候
，When Jesus Christ reached the day of suffering，
圣经说他与门徒守了逾越节。
The Bible says he observed the Passover with the disciples.
他就跟他们拿起饼来擘开说：“这是我的身体，为你们擘开的，你们要如此行，要常常纪念我。”
And he took the bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me."
以后，他便拿起杯来说：“这是我的血，为你们流的，要成你新约。你们要如此行，为的是纪念我。”
And he took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. And drink this in remembrance of me."
这样，他们已经举行了圣餐之后，他们就离开耶路撒冷那个楼上，走路面向客西马尼园去。
And after they had this observance of the Holy Communion, they left the room and walked towards Gethsemane.
在那里唯一的一次机会，圣经记载，耶稣跟他们一同唱诗。
And the Bible recorded that Jesus Christ sang with them. That was the only time.
那么我要问，这个时候呢，耶稣基督跟门徒们唱什么诗呢？
My question then is, what sort of hymns did Jesus Christ sing?
当然，他们不是唱。To handle the Hallelujah chorus.
Of course, they did not sing the Hallelujah chorus from Handel.
因为那个时候 Handel 还没有生出来。
Because Handel was not born yet.
但是犹太人过逾越节的时候一定唱的一首诗歌，就是诗篇一百十八篇。
The Jews would definitely have sung Psalms 118 at the Passover.
诗篇一百十八篇里面有两句很重要的话语。
There are two important verses in this Bible passage.
第一句就是这是耶和华所定的日子。我们要在其中欢喜快乐。
The first one is, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
This is the day that the Lord hath made.
这是耶和华所定的日子。
We should rejoice in it.
我们在里面要欢喜快乐。
This is the day.
今天是他定的日子。
这一天。
This day.
这一天。
This particular day.
照样也是千千万万日子中间唯一的一天。
One unique day among all millions of days.
在整个创造的进程从整个历史的过段中间只有一天可以说是这一天
In the whole progression of creation and of time this is the one unique day
那一天不像我们诗歌所唱的 This is the day This is Sunday This is Monday 不是那样唱的
It is not sang in the happy manner that we used to sing
it It's the only peculiar day in the day of the agony of Jesus Christ
但是在耶稣的日子里面是唯一独特的日子
所以圣经记载耶稣唱诗就是那一次
This is the one time the Bible says Jesus sang a hymn
而犹太人过逾越节所唱的诗就是那一首
And this is the hymn that the Jews would have sung on Passover
那一首诗歌里面就提到就是那一天
And it referred to one particular day
这一天跟以色列人一年只有一天大祭司进到至圣所是完全不一样的
This is different from the day that the Jews high priest would enter into the most holy place.
犹太人每年只有一天。
Every year there is only one day.
只有一次。
Only one.
只有一个人。
Only one person.
可以进到圣殿的里面。
Who will enter into the holy temple.
那就是每一年的犹太节期的七月十号。
It is the 10th of July in their festival.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为这是赎罪大日。
Because it is the day of atonement.
大祭司要进到圣所里面。
The high priest will enter into the most holy place.
一年一次带着血进到圣所里面。
Once a year he will carry blood to go into the most holy place.
他要用七次把血弹在这个圣所跟至圣所中间的幔子上面，然后才能进去。
And he will sprinkle blood seven times on the curtain, and then he will enter.
这是照着摩西五经里面上帝所定的规条。
This is the regulation that God has set in the Mosaic.
他要先为自己认罪，求上帝赦免他。
He must first confess his own sin.
然后他再为这个百姓赎罪，求上帝赦免以色列民族。
And then he will ask God to forgive the Israelites.
这是一年一次的赎罪大日。
This is the day of atonement once a year.
这个大日是每年继续不断重复的。
And every year they will repeat the same ritual.
照样当以色列人庆祝这个逾越节的时候，也是每年一次，也是每年可以重复的。
And the Israelites will also repeatedly celebrate the Passover.
但是当耶稣基督降世的这个事。那一天是永远不可重复的日子。
But this incident that Jesus sang to him is unique and will never be repeated.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为所有的逾越节的日子都是那一个耶稣受苦的日子的预表或者影子而已。
And all, because all Passover represented that one particular day, all is shadow.
什么叫做逾越节呢？
What is the Passover?
就当上帝第十大灾害降临在法老王跟埃及全地的时候。
The Passover is observance of the 10th plague upon the Egyptians.
上帝吩咐摩西告诉全以色列族的人，那一天他们要宰杀羔羊，是一岁的，是已经健全的，已经没有疾病的，毫无残疾的，然后呢把这个羔羊的血涂在门框门楣的上面。
God told the Israelites to slaughter a lamb that is 1 year old, healthy male, and sprinkle the blood upon the lamppost.
然后那天晚上，他们要穿整齐的衣服，要腰束的带子，要穿上鞋子，才可以吃那一天逾越节的晚餐。
They are to dress up as if they are traveling before they can partake of the dinner at the Passover.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为吃完以后就离开埃及。永远不再回去。
Because after they had their meal, they will leave Egypt and they will never return.
你不能吃完了以后才去找鞋子，才去穿衣服，才去找腰带束在身上，因为没有给你这个时间了。
Because there is no time for you to dress up once you finish your meal.
所以以色列人不知道这个到底是什么意思。
At that time, the Israelites did not know what it meant.
为什么要杀羔羊？为什么把血涂在门框的上面？
Why was there a need to slaughter a lamb and to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost?
那天晚上，
because that very evening,
埃及所有的没有血涂在框里面的家里面，长子都被天使杀死了。
The firstborn of all household without the blood on the doorpost would be slaughtered by the angel.
天使看见有血涂在门楣上面的房子，他就越过去，越过去，所以这个叫逾越节，就这样来的。
And when the angels see that there is a blood upon the doorpost, they will pass over the family. That's where the word Passover comes from.
羔羊的宝血的家，就领受了神给他们的救赎，给他们的生命的平安。
All household that bore the blood of the lamb would receive the peace and salvation of God.
所以以色列，你要纪念逾越节，你要纪念上帝怎样拯救你们脱离埃及。
And so Israel is to remember the Passover as to how God delivered them from the Egyptians.
当法老王出来追赶他们的时候，
and when Pharaoh went after them,
他们非常的惧怕。
They were frightened.
那上帝借着摩西对他说：“你们不要惧怕。”你们今天所看见的法老跟他的军兵，你要永永远远不再看见。
God told them not to be frightened because they will never ever see Pharaoh and his armies again.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，
dear brothers and sisters,
那一天逾越节，
that Passover
有血，
There is blood.
有救赎。
There is salvation.
有免死。
There is absolution for death.
脱离埃及为奴之地。
There is a deliverance from slavery.
有释放。
There is deliverance.
有自由。
There's freedom.
这个全部都是预表耶稣基督的死，好像羔羊为我们流血，耶稣基督的血成为赦罪之恩，耶稣基督的拯救使我们脱离了罪、死、撒旦、痛苦的这些的权柄。
All this represented how Jesus as the Lamb would bleed for us, and that because of Him we will be delivered from sin, suffering, and death.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
所以当耶稣唱这首诗歌的时候
，So when Jesus sang this hymn,
他就唱了这句话。
He would have sang this verse.
This is the day.
今天是这个。
This is the day.
这是上帝所定的。
The Lord has made it.
是上帝所定的。
Let's rejoice in it.
我们一起在里面欢喜快乐。
表示什么呢
？What does this mean?
耶稣基督很清楚知道，那是历史中间最重要的一天，因为那一天是上帝定要他死，要他流血，要他被钉十字架，但是他是欢喜快乐的迎接这个大日。
He knew that that is a particular day that God has set that he may die and bleed on the cross, but he was rejoicing as he received it.
当你遇到一些最艰难的事情，四围的人没有一个人了解，还在嬉皮笑脸，只有你承担那个痛苦的时候，你感到世界最孤单的就是你一个人。
When you receive difficulties in the world and nobody understands you, but you still have to face the world with a smiling face, you would have been the most lonely.
你曾经有过这样的经验吗？
Have you had such experiences
before? 那你就更明白耶稣就那天的心情是什么。
If you have, you would understand how Jesus must have felt.
因为在这一天，上帝把全世界众人的罪都归在他的身上。
Because on this one day, God placed the burdens of sin of the entire world upon him.
就在这一天，他要受最大的痛苦。要被钉在十字架上。
And on this day, he was suffered the most to be crucified.
没有一个人可以了解他。
No one else would have understood him.
因为那些要用人情来了解、同情他的人，他们的罪一定要先归到他的身上，没有办法知道他受什么多大的痛苦。
Because even those who want to comfort him would have their sin upon him.
所以呢，上帝也没有办法用爱来安慰他。
And God would not be able to comfort him with love.
因为那一天就是上帝的怒气，因为你我的罪的缘故降在他身上，特别压伤他的日子。
Because that is one day when the wrath of God is upon him because of your sin and my sin.
这就是以赛亚书第五十三章第十节，耶和华定义把他压伤的那句话的意思。
This is what Isaiah 53 verse 10 means, that the Lord intended that he be wounded.
所以那一天就是历史上最可怕的一天。
And that was the one most horrifying day in history.
那一天是刚好二十四小时。
That day was 24 hours long.
一天是二十四小时，我们都知道。
We all know that a day is 24 hours.
那么耶稣那一天跟门徒守圣餐。
That day Jesus observed the communion with the disciples.
耶稣那一天出道进到这个克西马尼。
And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane.
耶稣那一天晚上在黑暗的园子里面祷告上。
That evening he prayed to God in darkness.
耶稣三次祷告，半夜就被他们抓去。
And he prayed three times and was arrested at midnight.
耶稣第二天早晨被带到比拉多那里去。
On the second morning, he went to Pontius Pilate.
耶稣整夜六次受审判，没有吃东西，他没有休息。
He was judged for six different occasions without food or drink.
耶稣基督从大概七点到九点的时候，他要背着十字架上到哥哥他的山上去。
From about 7 to 9, with the cross, he went to Golgotha.
耶稣在九点的时候。十字架被举起来，像旗杆插下去，整个身体挂在木头上。
At about 9, the cross was lifted up and his whole body was hanging on the cross.
然后到了下午三点的时候，他吐了最后一口气，说：“父啊，我把我的灵魂交在你的手里，也就死了。”
At about 3 p.m. he breathed his last and said, Father, unto your hand I commit my soul. And then he died.
差不多再过几个钟头有太阳的下山。
A few hours later, the sun set.
所以你说这是两天，这不是一天。
So you say, well, it's like 2 days.
因为昨天守圣餐，今天上十字架。
Because he had the communion yesterday and today he went to the cross.
我告诉你不是的。
But not so.
刚刚好24小时。
It's exactly 24 hours.
因为犹太人算一天不是从早上算起，乃是从太阳下山开始，到第二天太阳再下山结束。
The way the Jews calculated one day was from the setting of the sun to the next setting of the sun.
这种算法是从创世纪第一章就已经开始。
This started from Genesis chapter 1.
创世纪第一章不是说有早晨有晚上，这是第一天；有早晨有晚上，这是第二天。
The Genesis says there's morning, there's evening. Didn't say that there's morning, there's evening, and there's one day.
但圣经创世纪第一章说有晚上，有早晨，这是第一天；有晚上，有早晨，这是第二天。
The Bible in Genesis says there's evening and there's morning, there's the second day.
所以我们中国人说一日之计在于晨。
The Chinese say that we plan the day in the morning.
一年之计在于春。
We plan the year in spring.
一生之计在我们少年定大心志。
And we plan our life when we are young.
但圣经的算法不是这样。
But this is not what the Bible says.
当太阳下山的那一秒就是新一天的开始。
The moment the sun set, the new day has begun.
我们的算法是先光明后黑暗才结束。
But we start from the day and then the night.
等到再光明的时候，已经第二天了。
When the light come again, we say the second day.
圣经的算法是先黑暗后光明。
But the Bible starts with darkness and then light.
先苦后乐。
First suffering, then joy.
先十字架后冠冕。
The cross first, then the crown.
先顺从后来成全。
The obedience first, then perfection.
这里面隐藏的真理太过伟大。
There are great profound wisdom in there.
所以照圣经的算法 ，This is the day started from the sunset. The night of was over and finished at the second day.When sunset again.
所以那所定的日子是从太阳下山以后，直到明天太阳再下山。
现在你就更明白圣经。
Now you understand the Bible better.
你更明白为什么说耶稣基督唱诗的那一首，这是耶和华所定的日子是什么意思
？And you will understand what Jesus meant when he sang, "This is the day that the Lord has made."
感谢上。
Thanks be to God.
耶稣基督在那一个24小时的一天里面。
In the 24-hour day,
他面对了神所定的、神所计划的，要他承受的最大、最大的痛苦。
Jesus Christ faced the greatest pain and suffering that God has set for him.
这就是我们每年所纪念的受难节。
This is why we observe Good Friday.
有一个人问我说：“为什么圣诞节一定12月25号，受难节一下是3月，一下是4月，乱七八糟？”
Some people ask me why Christmas is on December 25th, but Good Friday keeps shifting its date.
很难记明年圣诞节是什么。
It's very difficult to remember when the next Good Friday is.
我回答说：“你记得不记得圣诞节一定拜？圣诞节不知道拜几，受难节一定礼拜五吗？”
But do you remember that Good Friday is always on Friday?
他说是哦，我现在明白了，为什么受难节不知道几号，但一定礼拜五。
But I know that Good Friday is always on Friday.
因为这都是照着犹太人。的这个历法来记载的。
This festival is set based on the Jewish tradition.
犹太人的历法跟中国人的历法一样的，它是一个月30天。
The Jewish calendar has 30 days in a month.
所以一年是360天。
They had 365 days.
剩下的5天过了几年再来从头算。
And they also have leap years.
所以这样每一年的受难节一定在不同的月份、不同的礼拜。
Because of that, every year Good Friday will be on different months.
在礼拜五的时候是叫做逾越节。
Will be on Friday.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹
，Dear brothers and sisters,
那一天耶稣受了多少的苦
？The amount of suffering that Jesus had.
每一个人可以完全了解。
Cannot be comprehended by any one of us.
从来没有一个人受那样的苦，怎么办法去了解他受那么深的苦楚？
Because no one has suffered the way he had.
所以呢，耶稣基督所受的苦。
The suffering of Christ,
只有圣父、圣子、圣灵真正知道。
Can only be understood by God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
只有圣子亲自经历。
Only God, the Son, experienced.
没有一个天使，甚至天使长可以知道他受多少。
Not a single angel or archangel would have understood.
没有一个牧师、主教、神父、教皇或者传道、长老，这是明白耶稣受多少。
Certainly, no pastor, bishop, or any form of church leaders would have understood.
虽然如此，我们不能因为我不能全知，所以我可以不必知。
Although that is the case, we should not say that I need not need to know because I cannot know it for sure.
我们有生之年要尽量思念我们的主，为什么为我们受了多少？
In our entire lifetime, we need to meditate carefully upon why he suffered for us.
为什么呢？
Why?
这里隐藏着一个很特别的比例在里面。
There is a very important proportion in there.
一个人爱主多少，一定是根据他对主的受苦体会多少而建立起来。
The love of a person for the Lord is proportionate to the understanding of how much the Lord has suffered.
有没有人不明白基督受了什么苦就会爱主呢？我不相信。
I do not think that a person will love the Lord without understanding how much he suffered.
因为人类历史中间对爱的观念，因为罪的缘故，早就堕落了。
Because our concept of love has been stained by our sin.
所以我们谈爱的时候，我们其实真的谈一件我们根本不明白的事情。
So when we talk about love, we are actually talking about something we do not understand.
少年人对他的爱人说：“爱，我爱你。”他的意思：我炫慕你，我要你，我占有你，我不准你跟别人。你是我最自私的对象，你懂不懂？这个叫做爱。
When a young person tells another person that he loves him or her, it's because they want to possess her, selfish kind of love.
当他越讲爱的时候，他越显出自己是多么笨的人。
The more they talk about love, the more foolish they have exposed themselves to be.
里面的爱不是为别人，是为自己。
The love they express is for themselves, not for others.
里面的爱不是因为价值，是因为美丽。
It's not because of value, but because of physical beauty.
你们的爱不是为了心灵，是为了肉体。
It is not for the spirit, but for the body.
甚至讲的爱不是为感情，是为了意念。
And it's not for the emotion, but for the desires.
所以这个世界最矛盾一个字就是爱这个字。
And so the word love is most controversial.
世界最难明白的字就是爱这个字。
And also most difficult to understand.
世界最虚假的字，可能就是因为对爱的错误观念产生出来那些真心的话。
And also most hypocritical when we do not understand love.
我真的爱你。
When we say we truly love you.
我如果娶不到你，我把你杀死，因为我爱你。
I may kill you because I cannot marry you.
这样的人真心的爱吗？真心的爱。
Is this true love? It is.
他的爱是真的吗？不是真的。
But it is not real love.
因为我们堕落。
Because of our fallenness.
所以我们的感情完全物化。
And so our emotions have been stained.
我们的理性完全曲解了。
Our reason has been
fallen. 我们的意志完全偏差了。
Our will is biased.
我们讲最美丽的字的时候，都是用最丑恶的生命来讲。
And when we say the most beautiful words, we say it with the most ugly life.
所以从这一点，我告诉你。
From here, I can tell you this.
一个人没有办法爱上帝。
A person cannot possibly love God.
一个人没有可能爱上帝。
Or really love God.
除非他的爱是建立在对基督受苦的真正了解上面。
Unless his love is built upon the true understanding of the suffering of Christ.
那么我们对主受苦的真正的了解可能建立起来吗？
Is it then possible to understand truly the suffering of Christ?
我们刚才说连天使连天使长都没有办法明白基督的爱。
But earlier we said that even the angels or the archangels do not understand.
除了圣父、圣子、圣灵的知识是至知、永知、全知、不变的知、正确的知、无误的知以外，所有的知识都是有偏差的。
Other than knowledge of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whose knowledge is omniscient.
你说是不是因为我们现今受限制，所以我们没有办法真正了解上帝的事情吗？
Is it because we are limited and finite, we cannot understand about God?
因为我们到了天上，我们就永远了，我们就明白了主到底是怎样的事。
Is it when we go to heaven, we will understand fully how our Lord has died for us?
我告诉你，我们到天上去，永永远远也没有办法变成上帝，所以你人就没有办法认识，完全认识上帝是怎样。
I tell you, in heaven, we will never ever become God, so we will never ever understand God completely.
你说汤姆是因为你这个观念，所以你就把我们带到不可知论里面吗？
You say, Dr. Tong, you have brought us into agnostic understanding.
我告诉你不是。
No.
我们没有办法完全了解。
We cannot completely understand.
但我们可以有正确的部分的了解。
But we can have a correct partial understanding.
正像我不知道我在船上的时候，我下面的海有多深。
It's like when I'm traveling on a ship, I don't know how deep the ocean is.
至少要知道我的船没有漏，所以呢，我不会沉下去。
But I know I will not sink.
深度不知道，但是在海水的上面我知道。
I don't know the depth of the ocean, but I know I'm on this surface.
上帝的爱是无法测度的。
We cannot comprehend the depth of God's love.
以弗所是三章十八节那一段就告诉我们。
Ephesians chapter 3 verse 18 says.
深知我的上帝是爱我，我也愿意爱他。
I know that my God loves me, so I'm willing to love Him.
那么这个部分的正确爱从什么地方建立起来呢？
How do we then have this correct partial understanding of God?
我的定义是从你对基督的受苦正确了解到多少的分量，来建立你对他的爱有多少的可能。
My definition is that it starts from our correct understanding of the depth of suffering of Christ.
那么这种对基督的爱跟对基督的认识之间的关系又成为正比。
And there is a proportionate understanding between the love of Christ and the understanding of his suffering.
我非常同意法国一个很大的天才叫做 Blaise Pascal。
So I agree with Blaise Pascal.
这个人15岁就发明了计算机。
Pascal was a Frenchman that invented the calculator.
世界第一个把速算的功能化成机械的应用的一个人。
He did it when he was 15, having a mechanical calculator.
以后到了这个过了很好久以后，德国的这个人 Leibniz 在19岁的时候还也可以制造一个计算机出来。
But a few years later, the German Leibniz did it when he was 19.
这个 Pascal 太聪明了。
But Pascal was brilliant.
所以他讲一句话。
And he said this.
No one can know God than his love to God.
没有人能够认识上帝，除非他自己爱上帝。
没有一个人能认识上帝过于他对上帝的爱。
No one can know God more than he loves God.
他对上帝的爱若是少少的，他对上帝的知识不可能超过这个分量。
So his love for God is proportionate to the amount he knows of God.
我很惊奇的感受到这个定义是何等艰难找到答案。
I am astonished about this definition that is difficult to find the answer.
我完全可以接受。
But I fully accept it.
这就是呢，对上帝的知识有时是超过灵性的那个很可怕的一种状态。
This is a horrifying situation where our knowledge of God is more than our spiritual.
我们以为我们多看几本神学的书，我们就认识上帝了。
We think that we will know God if we read a few more books about God.
我们以为我们跑几个神学院，拿很多的学位，我们就认识上帝吗？
We think that we know God if we graduate from a few seminaries.
如果对上帝的认识是从这个渠道得到的话，
If we know God from this channel,
耶稣不会对法利赛人说，你们的父是魔鬼。
Jesus would not say to the Pharisees that your father is Satan.
如果上帝是你们的父，你们一定到我这里来。
If God is your father, you will surely come to me.
对上帝的爱成为我们对上帝的认识的基础，是不是绝对可靠的？
Is it completely trustworthy to know God through loving Him?
这不是绝对的。
It is not.
这是绝对可以相信的一个方法。
But this is a method that can be believed.
而根据我们刚才提的，我们没有办法真正了解上帝。
Earlier we said we cannot really know God.
我更没有办法真正了解他受了多少的苦。
And I cannot really understand how much he suffered.
所以我们对神的知识真是贫穷到太可怜。
And so we are indeed poor in our knowledge of God.
这就是为什么有一些宗教家越认识上帝，他越恨人；越认识上帝，他越杀人。
This is why some religious leaders, the more they know God, the more they say they know God, the more they want to kill other people.
他们对神的知识跟对神的爱，对神的基督里面的受苦，完全是分区而离。毫无有机的观念。
Because their knowledge of God is completely separated from their love and up towards God.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹
，Dear brothers and sisters，
圣经里面哪一个使徒讲爱讲得最清楚
？Which disciple spoke the most about love？
是保罗吗
？Was it？
保罗在哥林多前书13章整章谈到爱的。
First Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul talk about love.
讲得这么完美，讲得这么丰富，用了这么多的词汇。他没有办法超过约翰几句重要的话语。
Although he wrote it in the whole chapter, he could not surpass John.
是谁讲上帝爱世人，甚至将他的独生子赐给他们，叫一切信他的不至灭亡，反得永生
？Who was the one who said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe in him should not die but have eternal life"? Was it Paul?
是彼得吗
？Peter?
是马太吗
？Matthew?
是路加吗
？Luke?
不是。
No.
是约翰。
It was John.
是谁说上帝就是爱
？Who proclaimed that God is love?
是彼得吗
？Was it Peter?
是路加吗
？Luke?
是马可吗
？Mark?
是雅各吗
？Or James?
不是。
No.
是约翰。
It was John.
是谁说凡住在爱里面的，就是住在上帝的里面
？Who proclaimed that whoever lives in love lives in God?
是希伯来书的作者吗
？Was it the author of Hebrews?
是提摩太吗
？Timothy.
是谁呢
？Who was it?
不是，是约翰。
It was John.
是谁说基督为我们舍命，我们从此就知道什么叫做爱
？Who said that because Christ died for us, we know what love is all about?
是保罗吗
？Was it Paul?
是彼得吗？
Was it Peter?
是马太吗？
Was it Matthew?
是路加吗？
Or Luke?
不是。
No.
是约翰。
It was John.
所以这几句最简洁的有关于爱的话语。
All this most concise description of love.
为什么从约翰的口发出来？
Why did it came from John?
我常年感到非常兴趣的一件事情。
This is a topic that I'm always very interested in.
为什么这些其他的门徒没有办法讲出这样的道理？
Why is it that other disciples did not describe love this way? 历史记载，
约翰年老的时候。
History shows that when John was old,
慢慢的很多道理都不讲了。
He did not start to preach about other things.
到处人家请他上台讲道，他就小子们啊，你们俩彼此相爱，后来就下去了。
Whenever he was asked to preach, he talked about loving one another.
下个月再请他再来讲道的时候，忘记了，他又说小子们啊，你们俩彼此相爱，又下去。
And then you invite him again, he will say the same thing, love one another.
但是这句话从他口中出来，大家感到心中得到的滋润是没有办法让别人代替。
But everybody was greatly encouraged by him.
好像每一次聚会，那个老牧师祝福你就回家的很平安一样的。
It's like when an old pastor gives you benediction, you feel much in peace.
换另外一个人祝福同样的时机，你感到他不够老，所以你不平安。
But you don't have peace when a much younger pastor says the same words.
约翰是最适当。把最简单的字跟上帝的爱连在一起的传道人。
John was a preacher who was able to link the love of God with simple description.
什么原因呢？
Why was this the case?
我等会告诉你。
I will tell you later.
当我们注意看这个字在东方跟西方的哲学被研讨的时候，曾经下过怎么样的结论？
We can look at how this word has been defined by Eastern and Western philosophy.
孔子的人性观里面跟仁爱是绝对不能分开的。
Confucius' sense of ethics cannot be segregated from the sense of love and mercy.
仁者仁也。
He says a true gentleman is merciful.
一个有仁爱的人才是有人性的人。
Only when a person has mercy is he a true human being.
一个没有好心肠的人还是人吗？
A person who is not humane is not a good human being.
中国的仁爱这个字呢，简直就是等于两个人在一起变成仁爱。
The Chinese word 仁爱 actually is a character that shows two human beings.
也就是也在社会中间建立人与人的关系，这个人与人关系所需要的就是爱。
In other words, love is needed for interpersonal relationship.
但孔子谈到人与人之间的关系，谈到最高峰的时候，谈些什么呢？
But at the height of what Confucius was teaching,
当然下对上要忠，上对下要恕。
He says that we ought to be loyal to those who are above us and be merciful to those who are below us.
但是关于人对我怎么样，我对他怎么样，这要怎么样去做一个平衡？
But how do you harmonize interpersonal relationship?
他的最高峰是两句话。
At his height, he has two words.
第一句就是以德报德。
First one is that to do good works to
人对你好，你要对人家好。
You ought to reward others with good when they're good to you.
第二句话是以直报怨。
The second one is to take care of revenge through straightforwardness.
你对别人对你不好的事情上，你要用正直来对待他。
When others are bad to you, you are to treat them with good.
他没有说用恨报爱。
He didn't say to use hatred to.
他没有用说用恶报善。
Or to use vengeance.
但是他你要用正直，你要用刚强来对待那些对你不好的人。
But he said, when people are bad to you, you are to react to them with straightforwardness and with truth.
儒家的学说就从来没有超越这句话的标准的伦理。
And all Confucian teaching would not surpass the standards.
但是那位老子讲了比他更高超的一句话。
But 老子 said something which is more profound.
老子把这两句话的精义接连在一起，以德报怨。人对你不好，你要对人好。
But Lao Tzu actually went one step further and said that we are to reward others with good even when they are bad to us.
老子谈人性的时候，
When Lao Tzu talk about humanity,
他是用整个天之道来给我们的榜样来做我们的基础。
He used nature as an example.
天把万物都给人。
How nature has given us all things.
天对人没有什么求报。
And nature doesn't ask for a reward.
人根本没有办法报天一切的恩德。
And we cannot return to what nature has given us.
水是向下的。
So water comes from above.
我们对别人要以德报怨。
And so we ought to return good for evil.
老子的这个观念已经超过了孔子的爱的观念。
And his concept surpasses that of Confucius.
但这个更具体的讲出来，怎么讲呢？
How do we practically say this?
没有突破。
There are no breakthroughs.
没有人再超越。
nothing better than this.
中国人的爱的观念就停在这个地方。
And this is where the Chinese concept of love stays.
那么呢，孟孟子所讲的爱
，And 孟子 said，
就比较靠近你。什么叫做把自己跟别人对等看待
？It is closer to as to how we can treat others in the same manner.
你把别人的兄弟看成自己的兄弟。
He said we are to treat the brothers of other people as if they are our own.
你把别人的父母看成自己的父母。
Or their parents as if they are our own.
你把别人的朋友看成自己的父母。
Or the friends of others as if they were our own.
别人的儿女看成自己的儿女。
Or their children as if they are our own.
我非常赞成这个。
I agree with this.
我只怕把别人太太看成自己的太太。
Well, you cannot treat other people's wife as your own wife.
世界大乱就从这里开始。
And we will have lots of trouble.
所以呢，墨子的兼爱在儒家里面是没有地位的。
And Mozi's understanding has no place in Confucian teaching.
中国人谈爱到最后还是乱成一团。
In the end, the Chinese are still confused about love.
没有真正的超越，没有真正最高超的境界。
There are no true breakthrough.
那我们看西方谈爱。
Then when we look at the West,
西方的希腊神话里面的爱是最不值得我们研究的。
The Greek mythology has the worst concept of love.
因为他们的爱根本就是欲，他们的欲根本就是爱。
Their love is to link together with lust and lust with love.
所以希腊的神连做人的资格都不够，怎么样还做人的神
？So Greek gods are not even worthy to be human beings.
希腊的神可以抢自己的媳妇跟自己睡觉。
The Greek gods can take over their own daughter-in-law.
希腊神可以乱伦来满足他的性欲。
And Greek gods can get into incest.
所以 the gods of the Olympus in the Greek mythology are those immoral supernatural beings.
所以奥林匹克山上的希腊神都是没有道德的。
他们都是那些经验非常发达、非常凶、非常自私的人所想象出来的。超现实界的自由的神话系统。
They are gods that come from very rich imagination of all.
所以那些有色之士、有德之士，他们宁愿丢弃那些神明，相信只有一位对的上帝是至高、是圣洁的，就像苏格拉底这样的人。
And people who are strong morality like Socrates would reject all these gods.
希腊人谈爱谈到什么阶段有一些突破出来了
？Are there any breakthrough about love from the Greeks?
就是到柏拉图谈爱的时候有突破。
There were when the time Plato came.
柏拉图说我们应当爱慕那高超的。
Plato said we need to seek for the ideal.
爱慕那超然的
，and admire the surpassing，
那完美的
，the perfect，
那终极性的
，the ultimate，
所以那最好的
，the best，
这样我们就会提升自己，使我们的生命越来越超越。
Then we will elevate our own life。
那么我们怎么样超越自己呢
？How do we surpass ourselves？
我们要有理想。
We need to have a reason.
我们要思念理想界的东西。
We want to think about intellectual things.
我们爱慕完美界里面的东西。
And we want to admire perfection.
所以这样每一个人就可以脱离他的卑贱，脱离他的挫折，脱离他的不理想。
Then we can break away from the poverty and imperfection.
换句话说，柏拉图叫每一个人要有我的理想。
Plato says all of us must have an ideal.
从那天到现在，全世界很多的青年人都有我的理想，我的理想。我相信你小学做作文都做了几次这个题目了。
And when we are young, we like in our composition, we also write about our ideals and plans.
问题是我的理想到底是不是理想的我
？The question is your ideal. Is it your ideal you?
很多人有我的理想，很少人有理想的我。
Many people have ideals, but they do not make themselves.
这个理想的我应当有什么的标准，使我可以达到那标准应当有的是值呢
？And what sort of standard should we refer to？
这就回到圣经才有真正的答案。
The Bible is the one that gives us the right answer.
我们常常以为我们的圣经是一个很简单的书，所以随便解经，随便思想。
We always think that the Bible is very simple, so we have different very easy
positions. 当你看完了世界最高的哲学、最深的文化，在与圣经相比的时候，你发现那不过是罪人的想象，而不是神所定的标准。
But in comparison with the Bible, all the works of human beings are products of fallen beings.
上帝第一次把罪这个字赐下来，在新约的意思。 就是你不合标准的意思。
The first time that God spoke about sin in the Bible, it means you have missed the mark.
理想的我绝对不是犯罪的，我自己想象出来的。
The ideal me is not the imagination of the fallen me.
理想的我应当是那圣洁的上帝为我定的那个标准，叫做理想。
The ideal me must be based on the standard of holy God.
因为只有神是至高的。
Only God is the ultimate.
柏拉图对真理的追求，对完美的渴慕，这是不是好像圣经所讲的？追求认识上帝这样高超的。
The Plato seek for God in the same manner as Bible says.
圣经有柏拉图有几件事从来没有教导。
There are few things that Plato never tell us.
柏拉图说上帝创造世界，但是他的上帝本身是个不完美的上帝。
Plato says that God created the world, but He Himself is imperfect.
上帝用物质创造世界，柏拉图从来没有告诉我们，上帝用的这些材料的物质从哪里来。
Plato says God created the world with material things, but he never understand where the material came from.
柏拉图告诉我们要向最高的目标前进，而且最高的目标是从哪里来，他也没有交代。
Plato says seek for the highest ideal, but he never tells where the ideals came from.
所以我看世界的哲学家，到头来都是不真正负责任的哲学家。
So all the philosophers of the world are truly irresponsible at the end.
我们想象好，我们渴慕更完美的。我们盼望到的最高的理想，这是非常鼓励人上进的。
We want to be encouraged to seek for higher things and go for the ideal.
这是每一个青年人都应当有的心思。
This is how all young people should behave.
但是我要问的一个问题。
But my question is,
这个向上的心智是不是我们配有的呢？
Are we worthy of this spirit that go for the ideal?
有很多很难看的人，他就专门找最漂亮的女孩子，因为上帝柏拉图叫我要追求完美的嘛。
Many men who are ugly want to look for beautiful woman because he said Plato says go for the ideal.
那么后来那个人不要他，因为那个人说柏拉图也对我说不要追求不完美的吗？
But the woman will say Plato says go for better things.
所以这其中的爱就包含了自私，只要自己长进，要变成牺牲的可能性。
In this love, we want other people to sacrifice for us.
所以我教这些，我研究这些，结果发现，在东方，在西方都一样的，人类在罪性中间想象的爱。都自己不知道在讲些什么。
I have been teaching philosophy and studying it, and I discovered that both the West and the East do not understand love.
柏拉图以后
，After Plato，
300多年
，300 years，
400年
，400 years，
约翰出现
，John appears。
请你不要轻看这本圣经。
Do not look down on this。
约翰对全世界的影响远远超过柏拉图的影响。
John had an influence greater than Plato had on the world。
不是因为在这些戏里面。很多人研究约翰的事情。
Not because many people study John in the philosophy class.
乃是约翰讲出了许多最大的哲学家从来想不通、从来不明白的事情。
But that he has proclaimed many things that great philosophers never understood.
当柏拉图用 eros 这个字的时候
，When Plato used the word eros，
这个字是很普遍的字。
It was a very common word.
很多人明白的字。
Many people understood.
因为每个人结婚的时候都需要 eros。
Everybody need eros.
每个人谈恋爱的时候需要 eros。
When they get married or fall in love.
这个爱梦。
This marriage.
这爱情。
This love.
这爱跟义的关系。
This relationship between love and love.
变成追求真理的基本智慧。
Becomes the basic knowledge of truth.
今天的 eros 已经被解释成肉欲之间的爱的专用名词。
Today the word eros is related to erotic love.
但是 eros 这个字在柏拉图的思想中间不是这个专门用词。
But in the thinking of Plato, this was not the case.
你可以用 eros 去追求真理。
Eros is used to seek after the truth.
你可以用 eros 去追求智慧。
Or seek after wisdom.
你可以用 eros 去追求完美。
Or seek after perfection.
所以那个字现在是完全被取消了。
And today the word has been misused.
这个 eros 是下面向上面的一个爱慕、一个追求、一个方向。
This eros comes from beneath, seeking from to above.
但是当约翰写爱的时候
，But when John talk about love,
神的灵感动他，从来不用 eros 这个字。
The spirit of God inspired him to never use the word eros.
他从来没有 eros 这个字来讲上帝的爱。
This word has never been used when he described the love of God.
他用的是另外一个字。
He used another word.
是希腊人不明白的字。
A word that the Greeks would not understand.
那个字叫做 agape.
The word agape.
Agape 的 a 爱跟 Eros 爱不同在哪里？
The difference between agape love and Eros love。
如果我们说 Eros 爱是从下到上 ，come on 追求，愿意达到更升华、更高尚的生活的那个爱。
If Eros is a love that seeks from below to above to seek for greater and better things，
那么从方向来说就刚好相反。
Agape is the other way around。
Agape 是上向下的爱。
It is a love that came from above to below。
爱不可爱的。
To love things that are not loved。
爱不完全的。
To love imperfection。
爱不适合你理想的。
To love people who do not love you。
爱已经破损的。
To love things that are broken。
爱那是已经堕落的。
To love the fallen。
爱那是已经犯罪的。
To love those who have sinned。
这个爱才是真正的爱。
This is true love。
所以我个人在思想约翰的书信跟约翰的文字的时候。
When I think about the writings of John，
我心里深深受感动。
I'm deeply moved。
特别是约翰一书三章十六节。
Especially First John chapter 3 verse 16。
使徒约翰讲一句很重要的话。
The Apostle John says，
基督为我们舍命，我们从此就知道什么叫做爱。
Christ gave his life for us. This is how we know what love is.
这句话没有什么困难，很容易背，也不必查字典。
It's very easy to remember this。
但我告诉你，这句话是在爱的遮羞中间，把整个历史破成前后不同两个时代的一节的圣经。
But this is the verse that segregates history to two different portions.
你研究爱的时候，
when you study about love，
你研究 before John and after John，
在约翰之前跟约翰之后。
Yeah, before the first John 3:13 and after the first John 3:13。
约翰一书三章十六节之前跟之后。
因为这一节圣经把时代划成两半。
This verse segregates time into two portions.
约翰没有讲这一句话以前。
Before John proclaimed,
人明白的爱是很肤浅的爱。
The way we understand love is very shallow.
这一句话以后，
after this verse,
人所明白的爱才是伟大的爱。
We understand what true love is.
这一节圣经的重点在哪里呢？
The emphasis of this verse.
这一节的重点就是基督的舍命。
Is how Jesus Christ laid down his life.
就是那 this is the day 他所受的痛苦。
That is the day he suffered for
us. 我们对主的爱的了解。
Our understanding of the love of Christ.
我们对主的认识的了解。
Our understanding of our Lord.
我们对主的爱的开始。
The beginning of our love for our Lord.
就从这个关键起来的。
Comes from this point.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
今天晚上我与你这样分享。
This evening I've shared in this manner to you.
我盼望从你的观念的深处带来一个180度的转变。
That your concept may be turned around 180 degrees.
因为我们常常以为我们是很懂得爱人的。
Because we always think we know about love.
因为我们常常以为我们已经是很爱主的。
We always think we really love the Lord.
常常我们用了不懂的、错误的、已经莫名其妙的观念，天天跟人家讨论爱的事情。
And we talk about love to other people in ignorant manners.
你真的爱主？
Do you really love the Lord?
你真的爱自己？
Do you really love yourself?
你真的爱别人？
Do you love others?
你生命中间真正有爱？
Do you truly have love in your life?
你牺牲多少？
The question is how much sacrifice have you had?
你成全了谁？
How much accomplishment you have for others?
效法基督多少？
How much of Jesus Christ have you followed?
基督牺牲多少？
How much of the understanding of His love?
我们没有自我牺牲成全对方，我们对那个人从来没有爱过。
If we never sacrifice ourselves for another person, we have never loved that person.
If you never sacrifice yourself in order to accomplish others, you have never loved that person. 人对人的爱是要牺牲自我成全对方。
We love others because of the self-sacrificing attitude.
这个学问不是世界的任何一个大学的哲学系、文化系、宗教系可以教导。
This is not a lesson you can learn from any faculty in your university.
这不属于 academic 的范围。
Because it is not academic knowledge.
是属于上帝所给我们的榜样， 基督受苦的 reality 所能教导我们。
It comes from the reality of the suffering of Jesus Christ.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
所以从这里来看，
from this angle then,
受难节对我是很有意义。
Good Friday is very important to me.
因为对上帝来说，
towards God,
复活是太小的事情。
Resurrection is a very small thing.
上帝要人复活太简单了。
It is very easy for him to resurrect.
上帝自己复活也太简单了。
And it is very simple for him to be resurrected.
因为他是生命的本体，他一定没有办法弄死，所以他一定复活的。
He is life itself, so he will be resurrected.
耶稣说：“生命在我，复活也在我。”
Jesus Christ said, I am the life and the resurrection.
我就是生命，我就是复活。
I am the life and resurrection.
所以我从另外一个角度来看，
From another angle,
上帝会复活，这个太简单了。上帝要受死，这个才奇妙。
The resurrection of God is simple, but it is wonderful that he should suffer and die.
受苦，上帝愿意受苦，对我说是最大的拣选。
To me, the most important thing is God was willing to suffer for me.
对初期的教会，基督的复活是最大的节期。
But to the early church, the resurrection of Christ was the greatest festival.
糊涂的基督徒，圣诞节，圣诞老人出现是最大的节期。
But today, Christians celebrate Christmas more.
其实，基督的受苦是最大的，最大最大的事。
In reality, the suffering of Christ is the most important thing.
神在人间。
God is with us.
神担当人的痛苦。
And he took on our pain and suffering.
神爱世人。
That he loved us so much.
甚至将他的独生子赐给他们。
That he gave us his only son.
在基督受苦的中间。
In the suffering of Christ.
我们不但具体认清了上帝的爱。
Not only do we know God's love practically.
我们在他受苦的经历中间。
In the suffering of Christ.
有限的感受建立我们对上帝的爱。
We establish our love towards God in a limited way.
用基督受苦的榜样中间。
But in the example of his suffering,
我们接着效法他的榜样，学习怎样去爱别人。
We are to follow his example and learn how to love others.
当这些有机关联你都抓住的时候，
When you understand all this organic manner,
你与人的关系会好一些。
Your relationship with others will be better.
这个世界会美一些。
That the world will be more beautiful.
而神的恩爱赦罪的能力就运行在我们的身上。
And the grace and the salvation of God will be upon you.
This is the day.
今天是上帝所定的日子。
Which the Lord has made it.
是神所定的日子。
Let's rejoice.
让我们欢喜快乐。
我们低头祷告。
Let us pray.